Steve Olson, Secretary Treasurer, Greater Minnesota, Executive Director, Minnesota Turkey Growers Association, and Chicken and Egg Association of Minnesota.
Steve, let's start with a Greater Minnesota, what the organization is all about and what you're looking to accomplish.
Greater Minnesota is a coalition of farm organizations, so it's a grassroots organization that was formed by farmers. We were formed about 6-7 years ago to basically increase the awareness of issues that are important to agriculture and agribusiness in Minnesota among voters and legislative candidates.
And on the precipice of the November elections, what is a Greater Minnesota talking to those elected officials or potentially elected officials about this fall?
Yeah, you know, we got together, about a year ago or so as a coalition and said, you know, what do Minnesota farmers and what do Minnesota agribusinesses need in order to continue to grow and continue to succeed? And so we came up with a vision, and that vision is based on a platform or a plan. And we want to give both voters, but also legislative candidates, something to be in favor of versus be against. And so that plan is based on four tenets. It's make Minnesota a leader in farm and food research and innovation. Innovation is something that has been important to help us grow and help us achieve the standing that we do have in agriculture across the nation. And specifically, you know, you look at the Minnesota turkey growers and what we went through with high path avian influenza 3 years ago. Research was key to us being able to respond as successfully to that as we did. Without the research that had been done over the last, 40 years, we wouldn't have been in a position to be able to respond as well as we did. Our concern is that public investment in public research has eroded to the point where we're not going to be able to meet those challenges that are going to be coming down the road 5, 10, 15 years. Because we don't have that research happening now that will help us be able to address it down the road. A second part of our plan is to support clean water. Water quality is important to Minnesota agriculture. We rely on it to feed our animals. Water quality is one of the most important factors in raising healthy animals, but we also need that for processing. And we understand that we are part of a solution into helping make water in the state clean, but we're not the only part. We want to make sure that it's a broad discussion that includes households and other areas of Minnesota to support clean water and water quality as we move forward. Another part of our plan is to move to an outcomes-based regulatory system. Currently, the regulatory standards that we have are based a lot on process, and so it's do step one, step two, step three, versus there's several different ways to get to the end zone or to the goal of having, meeting environmental standards and protecting the environment, but making sure that there's, that we base our regulatory system on the outcomes versus just the step-by-step process. And then another part of the plan is developing policy that stimulates growth, because ultimately, again, we compete against other states. The businesses that are here, some of them can relocate, some of us can't. Some of these farms are based in Minnesota and we can't relocate, so we want to make sure that we can compete with other states, and we need tax policies that support that type of an approach.
And Steve, I like that type of approach where you are talking to voters and you're talking to politicians about issues that they can get behind, that they can support, as opposed to, we want you to oppose this or that. What has the response been like when you've talked to, say, the gubernatorial candidates in Minnesota or others that are running for elected office?
It's been very good. We ask them to take action too. We ask them to go to our website, which is farmandfoodmn.org, and fill out. The legislative candidates and gubernatorial candidates, we mailed out the platform to them and asked them to check all of those items that they support and then mail it back in. And on our website, we post those. It's a photo of the actual document that they submitted, so people can see how their candidates support the plan or don't support the plan, but also comments that they may have written in the side of those. And for those legislators and legislative candidates that have not yet filled out one of the forms, there's an opportunity for voters to click an email or click a box in the website, and then that pulls up an email that they can send directly to that candidate saying, hey, I'm a constituent of yours, and this is important to me. Please go online or please fill out this document. And again, it's one of those that by voters encouraging people the candidates to go fill the form out. That means a whole lot more than just some kind of a blanket that comes out from a greater Minnesota.
Yeah, I recognize we need to tread lightly here because I don't want to ask for any kind of an endorsement on either candidate. But Minnesotans will be electing a new governor on November 6th. And as we look at the importance of that position in particular, without necessarily talking about what has been done in previous administrations, but just how you'd like to see the next governor handle some of these issues that you've talked about. I guess a loaded question, not exactly to a point per se, but I think you understand what I'm getting to as far as just the significance of who the governor is and how the governor approaches agricultural issues.
Yeah, great question. This is a nonpartisan effort that a Greater Minnesota is. This is ultimately to identify candidates that support things that are important to Minnesota agriculture. And agriculture is not just farming. It's the agribusinesses. It's those businesses like CHS and Land O'Lakes and General Mills that are based in the Twin Cities. So this affects all of us. And we're asking candidates to take a look at those things and support those things that are important to us. Because, again, we feel that this has been a thoughtful process to identify issues that need to be addressed in order for this state to continue to succeed in agriculture, food production, and agribusiness. And so we're nonpartisan, but we're asking candidates, again, whether they're legislative or gubernatorial, to be involved in that discussion and to involve us in those discussions as we move forward, because these are issues that are important to all of Minnesota. And so having that dialogue, that's what we want to see from, whether it's a legislative candidate that gets elected or it's whichever governor candidate gets elected.
Anything else on the elections or on a greater Minnesota that you want to make sure we talk about today?
Can't emphasize enough that this is something that affects all of Minnesota. 400,000 jobs are tied directly to agriculture in the state of Minnesota. So this is a big deal. And again, those jobs are in those rural communities and those help maintain that fabric of those rural communities. And it's also very important to the Twin Cities metro area because we have tens of thousands of jobs that are based on agriculture and food and the success of these industries in the state of Minnesota and based right in the Twin Cities. And again, this is a grassroots effort that Minnesota farmers have come together to identify things that they need. And again, we're asking candidates to support this vision, support the plan to help us succeed.
Well, let's switch gears here, Steve. And the fact that it's been quiet on the avian influenza front here throughout 2018, what are you watching for here as we move into the fall, migratory season? Any reason to be concerned, or farmers are in a good position here with their biosecurity protocols? I mean, what's on your radar right now?
Yeah, we're thankful that 2018 has been quiet from an avian influenza standpoint, and we continue to be on high alert because we're in the migratory season of wild birds moving south for the wintertime. And so this is that time that we're most susceptible to those birds transmitting something to a disease to domestic poultry. And with that, we've also stepped up the surveillance program that we have. In addition to that, we work with USDA as well as others in the poultry industry across the state or across the country on identifying some biosecurity principles, and we're in the process of implementing those. And those principles are there. 13 principles that help ensure that flocks stay healthy and for farms to implement those. And then there's an audit process that's beginning to take place as well. And with that, there's a lot of training that goes on. So I think that, again, we're looking at, what can we do to make sure that we reduce the likelihood of whether it's influenza or any kind of a disease gets into those flocks. And so that's been the focus. And we're seeing success in that, but also don't want to rest on our laurels that it may not be out there at this point. But if it does come back, that we are ready for it.
I look out the window here in southeast Minnesota, and it looks more like November 15th than October 15th because we picked up a couple of inches of snow over the weekend. How do you think that might impact the migration as far as birds that are flying south? And we've had this cold weather move in, and I don't know if that really would slow them down much, or maybe it's even too early in the fall to see a lot of that migration occurring. But do you think the weather that we've experienced to this point in the fall is a factor, good or bad?
Hopefully it sends a message to those wild birds to say, hey, it's time to get out of Dodge here and let's head south for the winter time. And I don't know, you know, how much. I guess I haven't tracked, you know, where the migratory season is at to date. But hopefully, it does, you know, it does move those birds out faster. But either way, again, our farms need to be on high alert during this time to, you know, look for anything different in their flocks so that they catch something early. But ultimately, the goal is to keep what's out and keep what's in.
Although your focus is on poultry, how much attention do you pay to animal disease, livestock disease for swine or for bovine? There's African swine fever in China and diseases like that. Is that something that from the poultry side you need to pay at least some attention to just to see that there is circulation occurring across the globe?
Yeah, we definitely pay attention to that for a couple of different reasons. One is from emergency response situations. You know, based on what we went through with high path avian influenza, if there's a way that we can help other industries or other sectors have a better understanding of what that is and what their role is. And I know that the State Board of Animal Health and the Minnesota Department of Ag are also working with other industries on that. And then also, you know, we're concerned about those because, you know, some of those diseases get linked to feed being brought in for feed ingredients being brought in for other countries. And that's something that, you know, we're certainly looking at because we want to make sure that any kind of a feed source that's coming into the poultry sector is free of disease and it doesn't transmit anything. So we work closely, again, with the Board of Animal Health, the Minnesota Department of Ag, USDA, and then my counterparts in the other livestock species.